There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast.
On the left.
Rise from your grave.
That's when the cannibalism started.
What was that?
You can really tell the difference between Williamsburg and Greenpoint by the amount of, like, Omas and Opas, like the
Greenpoint's bent vodka Polish
people. But that's what I'm saying. The bent vodka people, like, as soon as you get to Greenpoint, you're like, ah, because it's like alcohol shrinks them down below 5 feet.
These are your people.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're more Civic people. They're the one, they're the super cheap Polish beer that's sold at all the bodegas.
Yeah.
You can always tell where the old Papu lives because you see all the bottles of empty Civic out front.
But that's how you know that he's safe.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because he's out there drinking on the stoop.
No, I once saw one of those old men passed out on the sidewalk.
Where else do you want him to be? That's fine. No, I actually got encouraged one time. Puffin took a nasty poop and it got caught in his butt hairs, and I had to get a water bottle, shake him down, and comb out the poop, and those three guys sitting there getting hammered called me a good dog dad, and they know what it means to be a good father. All right, this is the last podcast on the left, the Relaxed Fit episode. Oh. We are so happy to have you all with us. Thank you so much. Today, I know we got a couple of fun stories that we're going to be getting to.
Yeah, we're doing this kind of mix them up side story style. Yeah. Also because, you know, like, because we work.
We work.
We work.
We work.
We go on the wheel for the benefit of Crom. We sit and we push the wheel, so our podcasting muscles get so big and so virulent, but at the same time, do they weaken over time?
Did you see that video of the hamster that was laying on the wheel as his friend ran and it just, like, jumped over him every time? That hamster had it all figured out.
You watch
the one laying down.
I think he was dead.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. You watch a lot of animal videos that I would only describe that should be used to calm down dementia patients.
It works. It works. My Instagram is nothing but food, animals, wrestling, and I don't even let the politics get in.
Very good.
Wow, that is very good. It's just in your brain.
Yeah.
Nat now goes through a thing where I'll hear, like, it's always the same, like, like the sad music coming from her phone, and she's crying because she likes watching the videos of the animals found covered in, like, in mites, in basements and shit that are super skinny that are then raised into dogs. And she's like, I like it because the ending is always nice. And I was like, but you're crying.
But the ending is always nice. What are those? The name of the, it's the Dodo.
Yeah.
Dodo videos. Isn't it the Dodo, Daily Dodo, the Dodo something?
Are you having a stroke?
No.
I think he might actually be correct for the first time in the entire history of this podcast.
I think it's a dodo. I think they're called the dodo videos.
Uh-huh.
For some reason, I don't know what happened with my Instagram, but they think I love ASMR. Every single other... I have no idea. I think it's because I always click on it, but I never like it. But this last one, I did watch a woman. She unrolled one of those big jelly wrappers that is surrounded by nerds, like the jelly rope surrounded by, like, a crunchy nerd.
Yeah.
And so she opens it up, takes it out, and then the way that she crunched on it, I didn't feel anything, but I got it for the first time. I got ASMR for the first, if I had it, I would be like, that's a home run ASMR video.
You were drunk.
No, I was not. I was just down the bathroom. I was in the bathroom.
Do you believe in ASMR, Marcus? That is my belief. Believe it's real.
I totally do, yeah.
Do you get it?
I get, like, slight chills sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, I do believe it's a thing, yeah.
People get tingles down to their toes, up to their foreheads.
Why are you dying on this hill?
You know what it is I feel like it's a strange identity. It's an identity
It's a weird
thing.
It's a weird thing to identify with, to be like, I am an ASMR person.
You know what it's also? It is a bitterness, because they really don't.
You want to feel.
First of all, yes, I'd love to feel more feelings.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty blocked off, sure. Mm-hmm. But also, it's just easy money that is made by people with no discernible skills.
What?
That just unwrap things. All you need, you can have two hooks. You don't even need hands.
Your feet. There are many subtleties to the ASMR videos.
There is not.
Yeah, you got to think about the reveal. What's in the box?
Oh, man. I think this might be kind of like you not being able to see ghosts and you not being able to see aliens. It's just one of those things that you're just you're plugged up.
Yeah, you're plugged up, buddy. Your third eye is a lot like your brown eye. All
make
plugged
a crinkle
up.
Noise. Make a crinkle noise to see if I can experience it. Nothing. Absolutely. Hate it. Hate the sound of it. Actually, I'm just getting mad.
What if I just talk to
you and like used a lot.
I'm
of,
just
like,
getting truly very pissed off. No, is this the feeling I'm supposed to feel? Like, am I supposed to be mad?
I've got to talk and make sure that my mouth is very wet when I talk to you.
Stop it!
Did you guys ever hear the John Goodman McDonald's ASMR?
Yes.
Yeah.
I kind of want to play it for the audience.
No, it's more commoditization of the internet. They're taking our memes for free.
They're not taking our memes for free.
Look at what they did with Epstein. Epstein memes are the reason why we're sliding into a gigantic, ornate conspiracy state.
Ben, that's terrible sound quality.
Yeah, this is not helping the show.
That's
awful. That's a terrible idea.
I would put up my...
How long have we been in radio?
Oh my God. Howard Stern used to put his butt up to the radio, to the microphone, and then he would talk through his butthole. And no one complained about Howard Stern, and he got a $50 million contract with Sirius Radio that no one's listening to.
I legitimately think they had better... They must have had better microphones.
Maybe.
You want to talk about a murder?
Yeah.
No,
all right, great. Murder.
Police in Florida are investigating whether they have stumbled on a silent witness to a possible murder and are trying to get the truth from, quote-unquote, her.
Okay.
Sylvia Galva Crespo, 32, was killed by a spear to the chest at home in Hallandale Beach, Florida, north of Miami, in July, which her husband, Adam Crespo, 43, has portrayed as a mysterious accident.
Okay. So do you slip on a banana peel?
Right.
Like, where the fuck does you, how do you get hit by a spear in your home?
Well, I think you're maybe playing like, pin the spear in my wife. I have no idea how it happened.
That's a game you can play?
I guess.
Maybe it falls off of the shelf and it hits you in the chest. Remember that when that sign fell off my shelf and hit me in the head and almost killed me?
That's true.
That's because we're not carpenters. Mike, so what kind of spear was it? Is there a picture of the spear?
There is not a picture of the spear, unfortunately.
Why does Amazon even need to sell spears? You know, shouldn't you have to go to a specialty store, look a person in the eyes, and that person also has a book full of spells? I just feel like you shouldn't be able to buy a spear from the comfort of your own home. You should have to go somewhere, actually purchase it, because it's not a typical weapon. Huh. For home defense.
I also believe that you should build your own spear.
I agree.
Wow, you can buy so many spears off of Amazon.
How much?
The cheapest is the Reaper 11003 44-inch survival spear.
Can you toss it up on the monitor here?
$47.45.
What now, do you need that for?
Just for survival?
Yeah, for survival, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I always take this for survival. It's yeah. always good to have, because you never know when you need to throw a spear at the clouds while you're dying of thirst.
Hey, absolutely.
You could get the cold steel European boar spear.
Whoa.
It's only got four. I want to look at the reviews for spears.
Yes, please.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, now, of course, I found this out today. Amazon's cooking the books when it comes to reviews.
No way.
You have to be very careful.
Amazon is doing questionable practices?
Yes, they are.
Oh, no. Are they the major corporation that's going to own all of us until they leave this dying planet to go live in their fucking space structures?
Hate to break it to you, Henry. They already do own us.
Whoa.
Yeah.
One-star review. No handle.
What's it's a wire. It's all handle.
And he says... Where's the freaking handle? I got the head today, but it's worthless without the handle.
See, that would be a reveal that I would like to see on the internet. Be like,
no,
ooh, it's my spear.
That's
no,
different.
Where's the freaking handle?
You're crossing the streams of those old, what is it, the opening videos? What's that term? Opening box videos?
Unboxing.
Unboxing videos and ASMR, right? ASMR is about the crinkle. Jen Tisdale has explained to me several times that ASMR is real, but again, I don't think it is.
Jen Tisdale, a great comedian and good friend of ours. I believe that there is a crossover with the opening unboxing videos and ASMR, without a doubt.
Huge. Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Huge. Unfortunately, yes. Well, is there any pro things? What are they using to kill with these spears? And how are full... Then we have to go back to the story of how this woman's sitting there with a spear through her like this is a Mel Brooks movie.
I don't understand any of it.
I would imagine that spears, if you're going to take them out hunting, that's going to be a boar thing. You're going to be hunting wild boar and throwing spears at them, having them run at you, and then you dodge off at the last second, and then you fucking hit them with a spear, and that's how you do it.
No, that's how you're going to kill your son. These people are hammered in the woods.
Any boring person deserves to be speared in the woods.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and you can buy a 3-pack of these spears for $287.88.
Okay, that's not your Amazon low prices. Yeah.
Actually, can we order some to the studio?
No! Yeah,
we can order all kinds of different spears. I mean, that
Let's
is...
We don't need...
We're just trying to unclutter our East Coast studio, and you want to add spears to this mess?
It's better to have fun clutter than all those dumb, like, bills hanging around and all these things, people saying, oh, we owe them money, oh, you need to be doing this work.
Ugh. So you just want to send a picture of all three of us holding a spear when they're like, you owe us $100,000, and we're like, ah, do we?
Yep.
These spears have a different tale.
Well, back to this story. Police believe the Amazon Echo smart speaker devices in the home, known as Alexa, because of the common wake... You didn't have to tell us what Alexa was, Guardian.
Yes.
But anyway.
Yeah, Jesus.
Alexa.
Alexa, now you might think
that... Thank you, fucking condescending Guardian.
Alexa, now you might think that's a person's name. Isn't that funny? It is. But it's also a box that you can purchase... And you ask a question.
Back in my day, a box didn't tell you what the weather was. You'd put the box outside and see if it had rain on it.
Well, police believe that the Amazon Echo may have heard and recorded something relevant during the fatal altercation when the couple argued after a night out.
This is a spear in your ass, bitch!
Whoa! This is the thing. Everyone wants to pretend like Alexa isn't always listening, but even the cops know as soon as they can use Alexa for their own purposes, they will. This is what they call a smart witness, aka a snitch machine. And it is unbelievable. This invasion of privacy, you got to get your Alexa, you got to throw a bunch of propane on it, light it on fire, because it's listening, my friend.
Well, we have a no Alexa, no Google Home policy in our home. We don't have them in our house, because I don't believe in them.
I don't like them either. We tried it for a little bit, didn't like it.
It's scary. All of a sudden, it's like, Alexa, play our favorite song, and it's just like, oh, Marcus, yeah, Marcus. He's like, no, not us having sex.
That's how you imagine it to be.
Oh, Marcus.
Yes.
Oh, Marcus, drip that pickle juice all over my back.
Thank you for the sex, Marcus. Oh, yes. Are you going to hear that tonight? When you try to make love?
Yeah,
when I try to make love.
Now that you're a married man. Now that you're a married man.
Yes. Well, actually, no, because I have to leave my wife.
Yeah, dude.
Immediately after getting married, I have to leave my wife
to entertain the people.
Yes. What is it about being a husband that you're just not allowed to be home?
Yeah, just can't be home at all.
Yeah.
I have to leave my wife.
These bills aren't going to pay themselves.
But guess what, man? She gets to go sit and not get sick of you anymore.
Isn't
for a weekend.
Nice?
It is fun. Now, Henry, the other night
they get
you
a break
up
from our personalities.
You brought up a fun thing about my wife and my husband the other night, where you said that, like, my wife, like, I can't believe you said that in front of my wife.
My wife is a fun umbrage thing where you were, like, outside of a place where your wife is inside. You go, like, I got to get in there. My wife is in there.
Yep.
But my husband is always referred to after you've died. They don't really say my husband unless being like, my husband, yes. He was found in the East Bay River this afternoon.
Yes, indeed.
My husband has been missing for 3 weeks.
Yes. Ma'am, why are you holding a spear?
Because we had this funny thing about how, you know, there's just some things I just ask my husband to take care of, like getting hors d'oeuvres, for a little get-together we're going to do. And then when he goes out and he comes back with a bunch of men's magazines and no hors d'oeuvres, I decided to make him an hors d'oeuvre.
Oh, kebab him. Well, okay, but I got to say this. Distance makes the heart grow fonder. That's what they say.
Yeah.
That's because when you're gone, they're having sex with other people. And they are loving it. And they're loving it. And that's why when you come back, they're all like, oh, hey, how are you? Because they're satisfied, fulfilled, a little bit guilty.
Uh-huh.
That's the perfect dinner right there.
The best part of being husband to Marcus or myself is that they've had their fill of sex. They have reached
in that they've had enough forever. They're like, I'm good. Okay. Hands to God 2019.
Well, Crespo told police that he and his wife had gotten into an argument after a night out, and he was trying to drag her off of his bed when she grabbed onto a spear with a 12-inch blade. And as he continued to pull, he heard the spear snap, and when he turned around, the blade of the spear was in Galva's chest.
It just makes total sense.
The spear did it, not me.
Yeah, and then he pulled it out, which you never do. You never pull it out.
But then I wanted to make sure, because then I saw the blood came out all furiously and shooting. So I made sure to put that spear right back in.
Yeah.
But then I was like, oh, I want to make sure she's okay. So I pulled the spear out, but then squirt, 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 right. squirt. Had to put that spear right back in.
Sir, you've just described stabbing your wife with a spear. Does that make any... Do you remember doing that?
No, I was doing wound maintenance on my wife.
Great.
My wife.
He said he pulled it out because he hoped the injury was, quote, not too bad.
See? But just bad enough for her to learn the lesson that whatever they were fighting about, okay.
Well, yeah. Marcus, you're the one with the multiple weapons in your home.
I mean, not weapons.
They're
knives.
Really,
no, I don't. I just have knives. I have knives for utilities.
Can you carry a knife through TSA?
No, I cannot.
Can you carry a knife publicly in New York City?
No.
No. Can you carry a knife if you just like, if you go to a political event, can you bring a knife in?
If you walked into a restaurant and you said, thank God I brought my knife.
My knife. Now, what do you think the reaction would be there?
It would be a negative reaction.
So maybe it's a weapon.
It's a tool.
To kill.
See? This is, I like this because you're ready for court.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the, so the husband's in jail?
He's in jail, and right now they're trying, that's the funny thing is that the cops went and they grabbed all of their Amazon devices because they believed that the devices had tiny little hard drives on them, not knowing that all of anything that's recorded is on a server somewhere else.
Oh, God. Okay.
Well, I wonder, let's ask these questions. Where are the servers? Where are Amazon servers? Where are the things that hold on to all of this information?
California, I believe.
I think they're inside of Jeff Bezos. Yes.
Yeah, like Johnny Mnemonic, which would be cool. Oh, congrats, Keanu Reeves and the new girlfriend.
Oh, my God.
What, does he have another one?
He's got a new girl. His first girlfriend in 10 years.
Yes. Who is it?
It's an artist. She's very nice.
46. That's great. Oh, I love Keanu. And I love all of our 46-year-old listeners as well. Beautiful.
Of course. We're soon to be 46 and only just 11 short years.
Well,
it's a blink and we'll be right there.
Yep.
But this, I wonder where they keep these things.
I believe there's server farms. They keep that like their server farms out in California where all these things are stored. Maybe they're, I don't think they put them in China. I believe they keep them all in the United States. Server farms.
I would hope that they do. So it's in there somewhere. They'll be able to find it. And this Alexa is going to take the stand and it's going to convict this poor, well, no, he's most likely a wife murderer, but it's going to convict this man.
Oh, so it looks like here, you're incorrect. The data centers are in Europe.
Ooh.
In the U.S., the company operates in 38 facilities in Northern Virginia, 8 in San Francisco, and other 8 in its hometown of Seattle, and 7 in northeastern Oregon. In Europe, that's where the data center buildings are. We're in Dublin. There are 4 in Germany and 3 in Luxembourg.
Oh, that's great. In no way is everyone watching over those hammered. That's perfect.
No way. Especially with all the fucking double and triple beers they have over there that fucking sneak up on you, which is the weirdest drunk in the world. I don't like the high alcohol beers.
You know, I don't like this monitoring that's going on because I was talking with my Uber driver the other day. I was like, this is not the right place to go. This is not the right way to go because for some reason, Uber never doesn't understand Greenpoint or Williamsburg, Brooklyn.
Uber does New York.
But so he took my way and they ended the ride because he said that the app said you're not going in the right direction. So it ended the ride.
Yep.
So I had to restart and I was like, I'm sorry, bro. I was just trying to take us to the right direction.
No, things are.
It was really bizarre.
We're watching this fucking hole get close. We're watching this net get a little bit tighter as we go. They just put up new cameras in front of the Fulton Street stop.
Yes,
in New York City.
Facial recognition cameras.
And I know partially that it's supposed to, the idea was it's to stop people from jumping the turnstile.
The biggest crime happening in New York City.
Oh,
Someone trying to get a free ride from a horrible subway system.
And you can see they're really pushing this as well. There's been a huge ad campaign on the subways trying to get everyone used to the idea that fare jumpers are for some reason like the worst criminals on the subway.
Yeah. I just don't understand. No, the worst criminals on the subway are first of all, the people running the stupid subways and also the guys rubbing their dicks on everybody.
Yeah, right.
The frotters.
I suppose they got the picture of the guy then. And, you know, of course, I've already had my retina scanned.
We're public figures.
Yeah, I guess they're maybe going to, you know, be able to find some people, not just subway fare jumpers, but, you know, constant threats on the subway.
Well, they're
but it is very, very scary.
It's the same thing that we saw in Europe and Australia, where they are just a little bit more open. I'm going to say the word open about it, but a little bit more almost fascist-like about it, where they want you to see the camera so you know you're being watched.
Definitely in London. London, it's a huge thing. The British are very, very big on surveillance.
Well, it alters activity. It alters the way a human being acts when they're being watched.
China's doing the same thing. China's suppressing a rebellion from the inside out. They're figuring out how to, which is what they've always done, which is what they did really well, which is the one thing about a far left dictatorship that is very interesting, is they don't just want to control your body. They want to control the very deep inside of your brain. Like, this is a far left dictatorship, which is different than just a far left society. This is like a thing where they want you to believe in the cause so much that they will change your inner voice.
Xi Jinping is making a lot of people stars on those billboards that he's putting up for people who don't love him enough. And we talk about that on Able Against Topic quite regularly.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's going on there? It's happening here soon!
Well, London is the number one most spied upon city in the United... in the world.
Yeah.
London's number one. Okay. Beijing's number two. Number three is Chicago.
Why doesn't London have cell service then? If they have all of this facial recognition, all of these cameras, you can't get a damn cell phone to work in that place. I don't even understand it.
It's they're all, what do we've learned between fucking Borley Rectory and what we learned in Edinburgh is that all of these cities are built on gigantic graveyards. They've been built on the ruins of the former versions of the fucking city. So it's easy to put cameras on top of it, but it's more difficult to put the wires underneath it.
It's built on bones.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Bones in the city!
Rector! Dang near gave her skiing lessons.
Wow. That's also euphemism for cocaine.
Oh.
Mm. No, you can give a confident woman cocaine.
No one's doing cocaine anymore.
Good.
It kills people.
Well, it's the fentanyl. The cocaine is fine.
No, but that's the problem. Is the fentanyl's strong, and then people find out. I was reading all about the bias of,
it's bad.
If a drug dealer has an OD... if they find out there's a batch a drug dealer has that made one person OD, their sales will go up because people are going to try to get the stronger drug in order to get over their sort of bored drug habit.
Right.
Which is why fentanyl has been so fucking prevalent. It's because it's strong, especially in heroin, but it can kill you very easily.
Very easily. Don't do it. It's like when
especially on the West Coast, y'all. If you're on the West Coast, don't do cocaine or heroin. Besides I know it's relaxing. I know it's fun. But know that the fentanyl is very heavily used out there and it will kill
you. I don't think it is fun. I think it's probably responsible for most of the dookie stains in San Francisco.
No, San Francisco's dookie stains, that's a whole different thing.
That's heroin.
Yeah.
Heroin.
That's when they need the heroin. You know they need the heroin because they pull the plug and my God, are they full of duke.
Is there anything more to that story?
That story is pretty much it. I mean, there's not really much else to that story other than...
We'll see. We'll try to follow up and see if it actually goes through and see if they put... Do they take the Alexa and then do they swear it in? What happens? Do you just put that little thing and be like, Alexa? And it's like, beep, 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 yes. And then do you just ask it questions like it's a person?
Well, one of the funny things that I was thinking about is that in order for Alexa to record anything... Alexa had to have come up during the fight. They would have had to name check Alexa to record to have her start recording.
What they're saying,
or it's just recording.
They're saying that it's not, which is how it knows that you're saying Alexa.
Yeah.
How the hell would it know that you're saying Alexa if it's not listening every single time that it's on?
You just backed your way into an amazing point.
It is that's the problem here. So it's all just phantom words that are all just sitting forever being recorded on these gigantic servers that we're paying for the more and more we buy things from Amazon.
Yep.
Even though I'm not going to say the idea of being pro Amazon is fucking insane, but I do use Amazon because I need things delivered to my home and I ended up doing these things and I fucking order stuff because I need things in a massive turnaround. And sometimes you are in the middle of some other city or you're in the middle of another country and you need something to show up that's very specific wherever the fuck you're at, which is what Amazon's really good for, which is why
this, you're just explaining Amazon to the audience and why you use it now.
I'm just saying that it's hard. So to try to pull out of it, I'd like to pull out of it. It's like pulling out of Apple, where all of a sudden you realize, All of our fucking bullshit's controlled by Apple. All of our bullshit's on, all our group texts are on fucking Apple iOS. And then if one of us gets an Android phone, like Marcus tried to do, he tried to break the spell, and then we can't get a sex.
Yeah, yeah. I tried to break the Apple stranglehold, went out and got myself a Samsung and all that, and then group text didn't work anymore, and the business almost fell apart.
There you go.
It's that fast.
I understand.
All it takes is 3 days of no food for society to fall apart.
Oh my God, in this podcast case, we miss one lunch. The whole thing's going to be derailed.
Very, very upset.
I want to talk a little bit about, I'm just going to put this out there. This is not really a good way to start this conversation. Like, we're going to start talking about the Finders a little bit, which was the clandestine group with possible ties to the CIA that we brought up. Probably, when did we do Satanism in the government?
Satanism in the government, God, that was back in, that was in the closet. So that would have been,
oh my God,
6 years, 7 years ago?
7 years
when
ago.
Marcus says, 7 years ago?
When Marcus says in the closet, and again, thank you all so much for listening, because we are still DIY. We used to record in a closet in the basement of a Mexican restaurant. It was the same closet that the cook staff and wait staff would change their clothes in. So oftentimes we had to stop recording and someone would come in, change their clothes. And the entire thing, it was about the size... no exaggeration. It was about the size of a British phone booth.
Yeah.
It was a closet.
It was a closet, and it smelled, man.
Like balls.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I had to make the soundproofing for the little room using fabric that I found somewhere and comforters that I bought from a discount store over on Graham Avenue. And I stapled the comforters to the wall with a staple gun and then put the cloth over it to make it look not quite so awful. Yep. So it was just this weird green room.
And now we have soundproofing stapled to the walls. The studio that we rent.
It's stapled.
No, they're nailed. Yeah. It's nailed to the wall. Yeah.
But I want to talk just briefly, because recently the FBI revealed that they have had a file on the Finders. Now, when we were doing the Satanism in the Government episode, basically the concept was that the Finders was a group of organized human traffickers that focused on child sex lives. They would focus, their jobs would be to go and get kids for the CIA to use in possible blackmail to use against foreign identities or political enemies within the United States of America.
So
you would like knock out a dude while he was at a party. You would put something in his drink. He would drink it, and then he would wake up next to a child in his bed, and there'd be a bunch of pictures of it, and now we got you in our pocket. Or they would make child pornography and then distribute it. They would use it essentially. They would like mark it with tags so that if it showed up on your computer and they went to investigate you, it would be like, you wouldn't know that there was child porn on your computer, and all of a sudden, bing, bing, there's child porn on your computer. Damn. Which had to be made, and it'd be, I guess, OC.
Yeah, it's like a cuckoo egg.
Yes, it is like a...
a bit like that. So this is a CIA mission to try to frame people that they have political beef with.
And the Finders were the ones getting the kids.
Yeah, or people they have beef with, or people they just need to control.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Or just for the sake of making art with children, which is a fun way to put it. I like the grimace on your face, Marcus, when I did it.
I hate that.
Yeah,
well,
it's
I
really
don't
upset.
Think, no, the kids were not, these were just for pictures, though. This wasn't an actual, this was just a frame job.
It was everything.
Okay.
It was all of it. But that's the conspiracy side of it. But what the FBI recently revealed is that they did, in fact, research the Finders to see if there were CIA connections to this group. Because the Finders was a real group started by Marion Petty in the 1960s, which is sort of this free-thinking group where adults would go with their families and give up their society to live around the Virginia and Washington, D.C. area, where they would go and live in this sort of communistic world, socialist world, where they would get they would pool everyone's resources, buy a big old house, and they had several of these houses.
This was the 70s, right?
Yeah, 60s, 70s.
This was so popular in the 70s.
It's people wanting to get out of the rat race and live what they believe to be a more pure human lifestyle where these kids would be raised communally. And so all of the families would be one big old family. Ugh. And it all kind of fell apart in 1987 when two dudes in suits were arrested in Tallahassee, Florida, with having a bunch of dirty ass kids in a playground. And concerned parents called the police. They said, well, they're not technically our kids. And the kids are like, like, my mommy and daddy live in Washington, D.C. And he found out that these were just minders for these children. Not really sure why they were in Tallahassee, but these kids were all like malnourished and full of sores and all this bullshit because the finders came out and said, well, what we've been doing is...
By the way, that's all true. That's reported. I'm looking at a Washington Post article from 1977. We're like, or 1987, where all of this is reported.
All of this is true. And so the finders were saying at some point, no, we alleviate parents that need to get rid of their kids. Like, basically, we are helping people that are having problems raise their kids because what they're trying to do is add children to the finders in order to decrease the amount of generations that the finders can continue. But after the 1987 kerfuffle...
So parents are just like, oh, you can have them?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Think about it. If you could just volunteer and get rid of your kids, that must be great.
I guess.
But then you go, because of the 1987 arrest and all of this bullshit, all of the women and children, the finders essentially left, leaving just a bunch of dudes. But what we're trying to find out now is there's a massive conspiracy theory angle where no one really knows about the true history of Marion Petty, the guy that started the finders or what he did. We know that he is an eccentric thinker that plays games. His whole thing's about games and societal games. And what he says is like, I'm the eternal student. People who come and live with me, I open my doors to the entire world to come live with me. And I watch them to learn about them and see how they live and how we can live a perfect human life. And they bought a bunch of properties where they could do these exercises. But after 1987, Marion Petty got decidedly more authoritarian and the group started getting more and more strict with their lifestyle, which was telling them what they could wear, what they could eat. Obviously, it became full cult. But as Marion Petty says, I'm not a cult leader. I'm more of a cultural leader.
Oh, good Lord.
But I am a learner. If you'd even call me a leader. But it's so now,
the FBI is now in... The FBI has just recently... revealed this.
They just revealed that they did actually put in man hours to investigate whether the CIA had ties to the finders, because the CIA did hire several members of the finders to do some giant data entry project. So there are connections. So it's about whether or not you want to look at it hardcore conspiracy theory style.
Well, the question with me that I have with that is like, did the CIA hire those people specifically because they were a part of the finders, or did they just hire them for work and it just so happened that they were a part of the finders?
That's the big old question, because then they said the CIA came forward and said, well, we terminated our contract as soon as we found out they were a part of this group. Mm-hmm. Or was it a thing that they always were? Or does the finders actually house CIA members that are there incognito? Because the idea is to travel the world.
You know, the really fun thing about this conspiracy is because it forces the conspiracy theorist to choose between the CIA and the FBI.
Yes. Ooh, that's tough.
It's like, which one's like, well, you know, the FBI investigated these guys. Like, oh, so you trust the FBI?
Very interesting.
It's like when InfoWars sources ABC News and says, "Now this is how you know it's true."
Oh, of course.
It's like, but on the other end, you can't trust the mainstream media.
No, you can't. You can only trust
lamestream media.
Yeah, that's right.
But I wonder. So I would say to you, this is me just bringing this up because I started reading these documents. It's very interesting, highly redacted. Mm-hmm. So you have no real clue what the hell they're talking about. I read a couple of breakdowns of it, and a really interesting interview with Marion Petty. There is a Washington State News article called The Finder's Keeper, which was very, very interesting.
You got to make a pun out of it.
that's what he called himself, or the Game Master is also how he was known, the Game Controller. And if you look up another, there is a website called, I'll just throw the URL out there, www.mail-archive.com/CTRL@listserv.com/MSG00344.
You just caused 18 car pileups.
But there's a very interesting interview with him. And because to me, it's like, it's weird because the big thing that came out of the 1987 investigation over them is that they found in a series of warehouses, they found a bunch of documentation about, number one, how they can get more kids into the organization, which is by kidnapping, impregnating women all over the world and getting their kids, basically going and seeding DNA all over the world, getting the kids, and a photo shoot that they all did of them in robes slaughtering a goat and showing it to the kids and all the kids laughing naked, covered in goat blood. But Marion Petty goes as far to say that was us playing a game, showing that we are doing this. We were doing a funny play out as a cult, and we were literally slaughtering a goat for food.
So yeah, it's okay. Their argument is that they are postmodern.
Yes,
it was a postmodern cult, not a cult.
It's an ironic cult.
It's an ironic cult.
Yeah. There it is.
But this is the kind of stuff where it's like, that's the type of explanation. That's my problem, is that my brain wants to house the two, where it's like, I believe that there are these secret keeping mechanisms deep within the government. And this does, like what happened with Epstein, point towards it being, well, these are how the actual systems would work. But it's so in your face and so obvious. They're called the Finders. They dress up as a cult. They're all super fucking creepy. They have all of this bullshit already attached to them. So it's like, so they're hiding in plain sight. It's like Epstein being murdered on the front pages of the entire world. The entire world has gone conspiracy theory mad.
Of course, that's exactly what they do. I mean, that's the whole premise behind Donald Trump and the Steele dossier, with the tape with the prostitutes in Russia, in the hotel room.
Because they believe there's at least three fake tapes.
Yeah, they're like, they got all this stuff. And then, of course, they have the leverage. I mean, that's just classic KGB CIA tactics. So that is for sure true. The kids are true. Even if this is not a CIA operation, you got two different things that are real. And the conspiracy mind, what do? They just connect the dots, baby. They just tie the knot.
Oh, the conspiracy thought right now when it comes to all this stuff is very strange.
It's too mainstream.
It's way too mainstream. It's very strange because we did our Satanism in the Government episode. I think that was like 2012, 2013, something like long, long, long before all of the Pizzagate shit or like the QAnon shit or anything like that.
It was almost like no one thought the show would succeed and thought that we were crazy and were just like, what do you mean it's a comedy show about conspiracy and true crime and serial killers? Good luck.
And that's the funny thing, like I don't really know what to do with it now, because like I do believe that there is some part of this that is true. Like there is some part of this stuff, all this shit, and some part of the Satanism and the government stuff that is actually true. But that's the thing, is that we just say Satanism and the government as a shorthand. We don't actually mean Satanism and the government, because we don't believe in all the satanic panic shit and all that, because all of the Pizzagate stuff and all the QAnon stuff just totally smacks of satanic panic shit. What you're saying, Henry, that is a lot closer to reality for me, as far as what we've found out about cults over the years, and what we found out about cults like the Children of God.
Well,
like,
even look at the Mormonism series.
Yeah, even that. Yeah, like how when we look at cults like Children of God, when we look at cults that are specifically for children, like where it's specifically for creating sex games,
but
you know,
seriously,
and like all this like awful fucking bullshit, like stuff like the Finders, like that makes a lot more sense based on reality, but based on what we've seen and what we know to be true, that makes a lot more sense, and you could possibly connect that to some sort of secret keeping mechanism. But the Pizzagate stuff is
because
the Pizzagate stuff, it sounds so much like, and the QAnon stuff sounds so much like the satanic panic shit that we heard back in the 80s and the 70s.
Pizzagate is literally, for that to be real, it would have to be Wayne's World. And then Wayne opens up the door in the donut shop, and a bunch of ninjas are training and stuff. He's like, I always wanted to do that. It is a horrible pizza restaurant. There's no room for child sex slaves.
Yeah. There is a middle ground here. That is the dissonance in this middle ground is what keeps people out of it, because it hurts the brain.
Yeah.
I feel that there are less direct but just as true connections between things like the various splinter groups and within the CIA, various research, quote unquote, research groups within the CIA that could just take something like the Finders and use there are internal mechanisms as a great way. Number one, it's a huge smokescreen. And because we are the CIA and we trade in secret, and you don't know whether I am or I'm not, I can even tell you I'm a CIA agent on purpose so that you then doubt whether or not I'm actually being upfront, or if I'm lying about being a CIA agent, even though I'm lying about being a CIA agent.
Oh my God, I'm actually getting word. What was that? Oh, Operation Boil the Pierogi? It's a go?
No.
I've been CIA this whole time, baby.
Wait a second. Are you just going to boil me some pierogies, though?
Yeah. Oh, I love this. This is great.
But So you could kind of let the finders do their own thing, and then you kind of scoop up what they do. Like, you use them for a while, and then as soon as they have proven their worth or done, or you've used them for whatever the fuck it is that you wanted to use them for, you fucking chuck them under the bus. And then they're done. They just look like a bunch of fucking wackadoo slash pedophiles. Meanwhile, you have used their shit to muddle some other layer of information.
Sure.
Because the finders look at themselves as the new Quakers. They think that one day they will be viewed as an important utopian society, like something like that.
Yeah, like the Quakers.
But it turns out, honestly, but it turns out they are bad at childcare because they have their main crime is that they did abuse a lot of children.
Of course.
They don't know how to raise these kids communally. And you have a bunch of lost adults who show up to go play these mind games with some guy in a suit to go like Scientology.
They're all crazy.
It's these things where they showed up to these this fun weekend for mom and dad to become more groovy. Here you go. Here's all your uncles and aunts now. And you are not being taken care of because everybody else is too fucking up their own assholes trying to gain quote unquote enlightenment.
Absolutely. Well, that's what Sacha Baron Cohen was able to discover with This Is America when he was playing the wealthy guy and he requested a kid. And the guy was like, I can get you a kid. Where are they coming from? They're coming from somewhere.
Yeah. They're coming from somewhere.
And it's groups like this, honestly. They need money. And absolutely. Systemic child sex slavery is real.
It's very real. It's absolutely real.
Well, that's my problem, too. Because now the new celebrity coroner saying that Epstein was definitely murdered, even. But then you look at the dissonance behind that because the Epstein family paid for the guy to come move in. And so then it's like, man, all of this is so intentionally confusing.
Well, that guy's also somewhat suspect
as
well.
He's a celebrity. Yes.
He's Fox News. He was, you know what?
He's a show on Showtime.
Well, do you know, he was Red Eyes. Death correspondent.
I believe it.
Yeah, the Fox News comedy show that you used to work for.
3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, he was on that, and he was the medical examiner, because a lot of people say, like, he's a former New York City medical examiner. He was the medical examiner from 1978 until 1979 when, Ed Koch kicked him out for being unethical.
How am I doing?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that this guy's like totally wrong, but he is he testifies in celebrity trials.
The family paid him money.
And his findings are controversial.
No, it's the same findings. It's just a reinterpretation of the exact same findings.
He's kind of known as the guy's like, if you don't like the official answer, pay this guy some money, he'll give you the opposite one. So I'm not saying that his findings are completely bullshit or anything like that. Like, I'm not saying that, but I am also saying, like, that this guy is not an end-all be-all. He's not necessarily that big of an authority.
The thing that's pissing me off the most about this Epstein thing is there are still people that need to go down.
Yes.
Ghislaine Maxwell.
Yes.
She's just gone. We talked about this on Top Head as well. Strangely enough, the day after she went away, the U.S. customs systems completely shut down. That was the day that she left the country. Why isn't she being prosecuted? She was going to be prosecuted, and now that's forgotten about.
I was dead sure that Epstein had committed suicide. I was dead sure. And then when all the shit with the cameras came in, when all that kind of like, all of the guards being asleep, again, I'm not going to take away New York's ability to be incompetent to run the city. I'm not going to take that away.
No, cannot.
But I will say that it's in your face.
Yeah.
So it reeks of, they love to point the news at you. They want you to be really confused. And that's where we're at. And with this finder story, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's just such a big old kickball of a conspiracy theory that you're like, they're not even trying to hide this shit. And so you think you're a genius as a person sitting on the couch. You're like, I just nailed this whole conspiracy theory. I'm putting together all the points. Be like, no, dude, you're technically just taking the points that they're already giving you and mixing all up. The things that we're not seeing is all of the fucking redacted shit inside that FBI file that came forward. But
it is possible the CIA had people inside of the founders working undercover the finders working undercover.
That's what they're saying. But the FBI, quote unquote, didn't find anything or whatever. But the FBI, in my head, the FBI would not Wouldn't they love to catch the CIA doing something?
Oh, they would love it. But the CIA is in everything.
Yeah, well, the FBI and the CIA, they buried the hatchet a little bit after they let 9/11 happen. After their, you know, their lack of communication allowed 9/11 to happen, because that was both of their faults.
Yeah.
Jointly.
I was.
Yeah.
No, honestly, it's so funny.
So they buried the hatchet. They buried that hatchet a little bit since then. But back then, there was a huge rivalry.
I was privy to a conversation with some friends of mine. They happened to be part of the Democratic Socialists of America. And they are sure that the CIA makes up like a quarter of their group. And I'm like, I don't know, but it is possible.
Who knows?
Who knows? But I mean, that's what they do the best at. They're very good actors. They all deserve an Oscar. But when it comes to Jeffrey Epstein, the reason I think he committed suicide was, if you're going to kill him, you can do it any other day.
No, but I think that that's part of the point.
Yes.
I think that is absolutely part of the point, because
my finger touches him just like this in front of everybody.
I don't think it's even that. I think what it is that it's a further way to make people not even distrust the government. It's to lose faith in the government, where they can show that, hey, we go out, we can kill this guy. Everybody knows we killed this guy. Everybody knows, like, there's all, they don't let any, they don't spike any of the stories about the guards being asleep or the cameras being off, and they let everything come out saying that, you know, yeah, he was probably killed by some sort of like celebrity coroner, and yet nothing happens. So that's what it is. Everyone looks and they see nothing happens. Yeah. Nothing happens. Nothing happens. Nothing happens. There's no consequences for these people. So why don't we just let the whole thing just go?
Ghislaine Maxwell needs to stand trial. That's what I think.
Well, we're watching already seeing happen with our executive branch. It's the same thing. The idea, this concept.
Well, that's part of it. I mean, it's about like all a part of making people believe that the government cannot do anything. And if the government can't do anything, then who's going to run everything? The fucking businesses, the corporations. Let the corporations do it. Let the corporations take care
of
it.
No!
You're the one who loves Amazon.
I do love Amazon. Right. I just use it.
But I do believe that's all a part. It's about them chipping away at everyone's faith in democracy, their faith in the United States government.
To be fair, the government hasn't proven itself to be super good at doing things.
But that's
a part of it. They're making the government. Sorry.
But that's why I really believe in the consistency of HelloFresh, and their boxes are coming every week. Because you know what it comes down to is HelloFresh, no matter what's going on in the government, no matter who killed Jeffrey Epstein, they get that box every week.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
They absolutely do. Well, I want to switch gears a little bit. I want to switch gears a little bit to the band Crazy Town. Remember that Butterfly?
Oh, come a lady. Come a lady. You're my butterfly. Sugar, baby.
Indeed. So they liked butterflies. And this
I'm glad that we're following Epstein and the Finders and all this with the update on Crazy Town.
Crazy Town. Because I haven't heard about them in a long time. When was the last time you heard about Crazy Town?
Probably around 1998.
Yeah, I don't even know if they're still dating the Butterfly.
I remember that guy's abs, and I remember, wasn't that one girl, she wearing like a J-Lo dress?
No, she could never be a J-Lo. What do you mean?
There's like a hot chick in that band.
Wow.
I think it's all dudes.
It's definitely all dudes. You're just remembering the video. That's all you're remembering.
Could be. What was the other one with the guy with the bucket hat, with the girl on his shoulders?
That's Lynn. Let's
steal my sunshine.
Oh my God. Sunshine. Yeah. And there was another band, Len. Oh my God, I haven't heard that forever. And then what was the other one? ICU.
You make me come.
Yeah,
you
that band.
You make me complete.
Oh,
Completely miserable.
Well, then don't talk to each other anymore. Just break up with her.
Crazy Town has a surprisingly long Wikipedia page.
It's very long, and it just got longer because Crazy Town band members, they're bloodied. Why? Because their tour van crashed into a moose. Can you believe that? A moose tried to kill Crazy Town?
But this is my question. This is a news article for what? Why is this? I feel like if they were all murdered, I'd be like, wow. That's incredible. In one go,
well,
we got all of the Crazy Town.
You'll have to know the band leader, Shifty Shellshock. He said, just got out of the emergency room. And then his real name is Seth Binzer. But we'll go with Shifty Shellshock because Shifty Shellshock is the lamest fake name of all fake names.
Yes.
Because his name is Seth Binzer. But Shifty said, by the grace of God, we're all okay. Just cuts and bruises. So thank God Crazy Town is still there. The moose, unfortunately, was killed instantly.
Hmm.
And the band said on their Facebook page that they feel horrible
about
the moose.
This is very interesting. Me and Henry are discussing very important matters of national security. And suddenly, Here's a story about a moose.
It seems from to be Ben Operation Kissel. Boil the Pierogies. It does seem to be in full effect.
Interesting, interesting.
Some sort of smoke screen is happening just in the studio, and it's not just Kissel's farts.
No! Don't fart on air. That's rule number one of radio. But that's a little update on what Crazy Town's been doing. Evidently. Driving down the road, hitting a moose. But that is sad that they don't have a tour bus. They have a tour van.
I mean, you I would just, think
we have a tour van.
No, I don't. We're not Crazy Town.
Yeah, but Crazy Town's not Crazy Town anymore. They're not capital C, capital T Crazy Town like they used to be.
Yeah, okay. Butterfly was 20 years ago.
Jeez.
Shit. When was their last live date? What capacity they play into?
What capacity? Oh, okay. I'll look up Crazy Town live.
Yeah, I'm gonna see what Shifty Shell Shack looks like right now.
I imagine if it's
they're playing.
Oh, my.
Okay, they're doing Australian tour. They're doing bars.
Okay. They're doing good. Yeah, Shifty Shellshock looks like an older version of himself, but not
let me see him.
Horrible. You know, you kind of got to live with the look that you created 20 years ago when you got all those tats.
I'll definitely fuck your wife if you meet him in a bar in Jacksonville.
Oh, yeah, you know, and she'll fuck him, too. He's Shifty Shellshock from Crazy Town.
Yeah, he definitely, goes, I got the beret. You got that little, that under the lip piercing.
Yeah, I don't know what it's called, but it's very nice.
LeBray?
They're doing about 200-person bars, 200-person venues. It's their 20th anniversary tour.
Hey, all right. There you go. Yeah, the band is back together, and they hit a moose.
They're going to be at Stage West in Scranton, Pennsylvania, this Saturday.
God, if only to be a fly in the wall, those tour manager meetings. Just talking about how many...
butterfly on the wall.
Oh, the La Brea fucking...
Very good.
It's another distraction from the fact that the CIA and the FBI are controlling us by allowing the government to falter so that the corporations can take over.
Yeah. Okay, well, I got another story before we do Hero of the Week, because I got to keep this thing focused on what matters. Bizarre video shows woman spraying her breast milk around at a festival.
You showed us this video. You're like, no, doesn't this make you kind of horny?
I did not say doesn't it make you kind of horny.
I don't mind a woman being a protein sprinkler. I think it's kind of nice. I think that, yes, you are a mother. Be proud of it. But at the same time, if I don't know you...
Well, most people, apparently most people couldn't believe what they're saying. And one bystander said, okay, but how does she produce so much milk? She was full of it.
She drinks a lot of water.
And then they continued to say, this is a woman. A woman condemned her. She said, I assume she just had a baby and that milk is being dispensed to the public instead of her child. So that's not right. And then one dude said, yo, breast milk is like fucking gold. And she's like squirting it out like it's water. These are quotes.
Are they both from you? From different points of the night?
But then one woman defended her, saying, the breast milk is not a big deal. Her squirting is like a super soaker is. Her squirting it like it's like a super soaker is. So they just didn't like how much was coming out. So it seems like overall, they weren't thrilled with this woman squirting breast milk everywhere at the festival.
But you can make more milk.
Yeah, but if you do have a baby, if she has a fresh baby at home, but then if she bottled it all up, I think sometimes you got more milk than you need.
Some women do have much more milk than they need. Some women have less milk than they need.
So this woman should meet one who has less milk.
So if she's got extra milk, she can do whatever she wants with that extra milk.
Hey, man, I would assume you start filling up there. It starts weighing you down. You're not having a nice time. You're at a festival. Your breasts are out because Crazy Town's performing Butterfly. You squeeze it out.
I know if I don't jerk off for 3 days and I'm on the road, I start to leak.
Is it similar to when you pop a zit?
What do you mean?
Like the feeling. Maybe a woman can answer that question.
This really shows the gaps in the show and that we have like no women involved in like speaking on the microphones because we have no, we don't know. We just make up like old school like folk tales about breasts.
If I may take a stab at this.
Okay. And again, you can email sidestorieslpotl @gmail.com.
I would imagine that expelling breast milk when you are full is kind of like a feeling that's a combination between the relief of peeing and the relief of taking a dump.
I like to hope so. Because for these mothers, I'd like to hope so.
I think it's relief, but I would say it's probably, because I know these things.
Of course.
It's probably a combination of taking a dump or taking a pee, but coming out of your breast.
So it's like you feel like you have to pee, but it's in your breast.
Yeah.
Well, no kidding. That's where that is.
Man, women are magical.
Magical creatures.
We got a bunch of emails after we asked about whether or not a woman can just feed herself with her own breast milk if she had been recently pregnant and then she was kind of left for dead somewhere or she needed to survive. And apparently Kissel was correct.
You can't do it.
Saying that she can't, that she stops making milk.
Yeah.
Because she's dehydrated.
Saddened me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, Marcus, I know that you have, we do a little thing called Hero of the Week.
Yeah, this is, we do it on Side Stories, but yes. Marcus wanted to be a part of the fun.
Yeah, yes. So I've got a Hero of the Week.
All right. Chad, you're the goddamn motherfucking Hero of the Week, Hell
Satan. A New Hampshire woman is pushing back against cemetery officials after she says the Halloween decorations she placed at her son's grave have been repeatedly removed.
Oh my goodness.
Christina Wohl of Francetown decorated the grave of her son, William Cole Wohl, with a skeleton wearing a cowboy hat.
Honestly, it's really fun. The skeleton's emerging from the grave as if it's her dead son.
Yeah. Well, her son died in 2016 at the age of 18 after riding a horse in a rodeo at Castleton, Vermont.
Oh, honestly, rodeos are so dangerous.
Very.
They are so dangerous.
Oh, yeah. I've seen a lot of bad injuries at rodeos. Yeah, I've never seen a death, but I've seen some pretty bad ones.
I'd love to see a rodeo.
I want to go.
I should take you down to the Texas Cowboy Reunion.
Yeah, but Henry, if you do go, you can't be like, kill him! Kill the man! Kill the man! Because then you're going to be escorted out.
No, I would be me with my big hat on and my funny boots and going like, this is indeed my first rodeo. I'm a performer from New York.
Yeah, you're a performer. Go clown, boy. Put him in the barrel.
Well, this woman posted on Facebook. She said, I'm getting tired of Cole's Halloween decorations being removed. This is rude. Yep. There is nothing wrong with having a little fun with death.
I agree.
Then she put an emoji for a skull. Sometimes you have to laugh because there's so much to cry over.
Aww.
I completely agree.
Absolutely.
You pay so much damn money for these graves. She can't decorate it?
I'm honestly number one surprised you don't own the grave. Like, you don't pay for it and you don't own it.
It's a rental.
It's
you just
rental?
Rent the grave?
Yeah, you don't own the plot.
You don't?
I don't think so. I think you just kind of lease it.
Until your whole family lineage dies and then they're like, guess it's up for grabs, like storage wars?
I believe it is illegal to bury someone at your own home in your backyard. But I believe in home burials.
Yeah.
Well, you can do the cremation and then you can do the flower thing or a whole series of things.
Technically, you're not allowed to release, like, you're not supposed to take ashes and put them in public places because it's like a health scare. It's a health problem.
You know what? No one's ever caught anyone doing it.
You know, I think I'm confusing real life with the outer world.
Ah, it happens.
Yeah, it happens.
I've been playing that game a lot.
Dude, I've been playing Modern Warfare, Call of Duty Modern Warfare. I'm way traumatized.
I've been inviting a lot of people into our apartment from all walks of life and asking them questions about their life. And I've been playing a game where I learn from them. Hmm. I'm the student. They are educating me. It's a topsy-turvy university. And I have them come in and I raise their children. And by raise them, I mean it's this funny game where I just leave them.
Operation Boil the Pierogi. Boil the Pierogi is a go.
Oh, well, just give me the pierogi.
You'll get them.
But I think that you should be able to have fun with death.
Well,
yes.
Well, Polly Free said, well, it's not about that. It's not about being inappropriate in any way. Polly Free, chairman of the Francetown Cemetery Commission, told the union leader the commission has the right to move any decoration and is under no obligation to contact families about the removals. She told the newspaper the skeleton decoration was in the way of landscapers who mow the cemetery every week.
Oh, my God. Mow around.
Pick them up, put them back.
Yeah.
Pick them up, or maybe like, I'll come. I'll bring a weed whacker.
Mm-hmm.
I'll handle the grave for this.
Figure it out.
Yep. And Wohl disputed on Facebook that the cemetery is mowed every week and said that the decorations were removed 36 hours after she put them back into place.
I do love it reminds me of the woman who fought the water company after they put all the natural gas, Erin Brockovich.
Mm.
It reminds me of that, but in a much different way.
Yes.
But you know, she's just like, yeah, you're going to take them? You're going to take the decorations? Oh, guess I got to go buy new decorations. And I just love that she went back there, put those skeletons in the land.
But she do it with the cleavage.
Maybe.
That was the whole Erin Brockovich thing, was that she always showed her cleavage.
Yeah, that's what people focused on, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I learned from the film.
She said, I'm sorry that this gets under my skin, but the cemetery shouldn't just be about sadness. It should be about the joy of celebrating a life, being with a loved one, and letting their spirit shine. The loss of a child is horrible, and they shouldn't have to be just a name on a stone. The cemetery may be their new eternal home, but it doesn't have to be dull and boring. It can be full of life and convey the happiness that they shared in life with so many.
I love it. I absolutely love it. And it's, you know, now the thing is that if she was like, all right, you got a problem with me, I guess I'm now just going to come in the dead of night. I'm going to dig up my son's bones. Right. I'm going to use them as the decorations.
Yeah. Do you like that? Do you like that? Well, that makes me think of course, Kevin Barnett, our good friend. Perhaps we should get a bunch of African greys, a bunch of food that they love, and then we can go have a party, African greys can eat all the food, and then we can watch them poop all over everyone.
That's horrifying. I was thinking, but we could get a bunch of strippers to go just kind of squat over his grave. I think he'd love that.
You would absolutely
love that. He would.
Absolutely. All right. Well, that is Hero of the Week. It's a mama who cares for her son. And be careful if you're doing the rodeo. Wear the flat jacket. You basically got to wear a bulletproof vest.
What about a helmet?
Oh, yeah. They usually wear helmets.
Is that dumb?
Now, helmets are pretty standard now. It's the helmets and the vests, at least when they're doing bull riding or like saddle bronc.
PBA
or something like that. No, even at the amateur rodeos
now. Oh, is that right?
Last time I went to a rodeo was 2017. That thing is 2017, 2018.
Yeah.
Most of the riders were wearing hats. They were wearing helmets and
they don't get made fun of?
And all that. They used to, but then, you know, guys.
Everyone's
dying.
Yeah.
No, but manliness kills a lot of people.
Oh, yeah. Well, the death of Lane Frost really did change a lot of stuff around.
Was that a big rodeo clown guy? I'm just asking.
No, yeah,
this is indeed my first rodeo.
It was huge. Luke Perry played him in that movie, 8 seconds.
Oh,
I thought that was how long he could last in the sack.
And Luke Perry also died.
Wow. The Finders.
Oh, by the way, Luke Perry's son is a great professional wrestler.
Really?
Yes. Hmm. All right. Well, I think that's been, I feel relaxed.
I'm fucking very relaxed.
I mean, super relaxed. We learned a lot about a lot of different things. And thank you all.
We shared our time together. We shared our audience's time together.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. And we will be in your town soon. If you live in Toronto, we will be there December 5th. If you live in Detroit, we'll be inside of you on December 6th and December 7th, Columbus, Ohio, and December 13th. We are filming our special, and then this live show will be dead forever. So come see us in beautiful New Orleans.
New Orleans. We're getting beans.
Cannot wait.
Beans.
We're going to experience. Have you been there yet, Marcus?
I've never been to New Orleans.
Henry, you?
New Orleans is one of my favorite cities in the world.
You have been there?
Yes, I have. And it's the common, like, I went there for Mardi Gras, and I was like, I'm never coming back. I feel the jazz in my bones.
I can't wait for the jazz. So we will see you all in New Orleans.
We also have some new Last Podcast Network live shows that we are promoting. That we have the Wizard and Bruiser and Page 7 are doing a series of live shows all over our country. We have got December 11th, 2019 at Dynasty Typewriter in Los Angeles.
Nice.
January 9th, 2020 in Chicago, Illinois. January 10th, 2020 in Pontiac, Michigan. And January 11th, 2020, Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Oh.
You're going to have Jake Young, Holden McNeely, Jackie Zabrowski, and my beautiful bride, Natalie Jean. They're going to be out there yapping at y'all, and it's going to be fun ass time.
It will be fun. Holden is nothing if he's not a yapper.
He's a yapper.
No, you will love those shows. They did a wonderful job when they performed here at the Bell House. So please check out Wizard and the Bruiser and Page 7 and keep on supporting all things LPN. And never forget, hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Again.
Magoostalations.
Amen. Amen.
Are you dying?
This is pierogies.
Yeah, I'm going to put pierogies on your grave.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.